Now, football games are fun. I like watching. I like baseball even more. I'm a big Cardinals fan. But no matter what you're involved in, even if it's baseball and football and other things, we need to involve the Lord. When did the disciples say to the Lord, "Lord, increase our faith"? Well, when I was researching this, I said, well, there were a lot of times when they could have said to him, "Lord, increase our faith." But it was not when they were out in a storm. When you look at Luke chapter 8, they were out in a storm and he talked about their faith. Yes, Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Luke chapter 8 from verse 22. He says, one day he got into a boat with the disciples and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him saying, "Master, master, we are perishing." That's what they thought. And he awoke and rebuked the wind and raging waves and they ceased and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and waters, and they obey him?" He could have mastery over the elements. He could have mastery over the danger that they thought they were in. But they didn't say, "Lord, increase our faith" at this stage. What about when they saw other miracles? Miracles they themselves could not do. Let's look at Matthew 17. Matthew 17, starting in verse 14. It seems that the apostles had been trying to use the power that was given to them in Matthew chapter 10, not long after they were chosen, to cast out demons. They were trying to do their best in the name of the Lord. In Luke chapter 17, it says that they had not succeeded. Luke chapter 17 from verse 14, "And when they came to a crowd, a man came up to him and kneeling before him said, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water.' And I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him." Jesus answered, "O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like the grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." But this is not where they said, "Lord, increase our faith." They saw a demonstration of something that was beyond their capabilities, even with the power of the Holy Spirit to do miracles that they possessed. They couldn't do it. Jesus could do it. And when they asked him, "How come we couldn't do it?" "Because you didn't have enough faith." It wasn't because the Holy Spirit was limited. It wasn't because God was limited, because Jesus ended up doing it. But it was because their faith wasn't strong enough. But they didn't ask, "Lord, increase our faith." Also, we see that there was a great incident of faith and doubt. In Matthew chapter 14, we hear about Jesus walking on the water. In Matthew chapter 14, and I'm chuckling because this is a great example of Peter, and I'm named Paul, but I'm a lot like Peter. Very impulsive, jump in there with 2 feet, basically, and really sometimes can't do what you think you can do. But here's Peter. What happens with him? Matthew chapter 14 from verse 23. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Now, Peter here had enough faith to get out of the boat and walk on the water. But just like me, he had doubts. Just like me, he looked around. Instead of looking at Jesus, he looked around at the difficulties. He looked around at the winds and the waves, and he started to sink. And he had to ask the Lord again, "Lord, save me." But you know, even though the Lord said you didn't have enough faith, they didn't say, and he didn't say, "Lord, increase our faith." So as I'm studying about this subject today, knowing what I want to discuss, I said, "Well, where in the world did they say that?" And I got to Luke 17. Luke 17, verses 1 to 6. When did they say, "Lord, increase our faith"? You know, it's ironic to me. It's not after a miracle. It's not after a display of power over the elements. It's not even after Peter has walked on the water. It's after Jesus says, "You got to forgive others." Because forgiving others does not depend on the power of God. Forgiving others depend on our hearts and our decisions. And that's what makes it awful hard. In Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 6, Peter again, asking questions about forgiveness, Jesus teaches them a wonderful lesson. From verse 1, and he said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of his little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and turns to you 7 times saying, 'I repent,' you must forgive him." What was their response, brothers and sisters, when they were told they needed to reach out in love and help people out of their sins when they fall into weakness, when they have difficulties and problems and doubts and fears, when they do the things they're not supposed to do, and they need forgiveness and they need from you, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to forgive them as many times as are necessary. And then they responded. Verse 5, and the apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." Boy, this was a quandary for me when I was studying this. Lord, increase our faith. Why at this time? Why not in their doubting about walking on the water, they're doubting about whether Jesus was going to save them in that boat that was in that terrible storm? Why not when they couldn't do what they thought they could do about casting out a demon? Why when they were asked to forgive? Why was that when they said, Lord, increase our faith? And the Lord went on to talk about the mustard seed again. Why then? Because they knew how much they depended on the Lord. They knew how faulty it was to depend on themselves. And they knew very, very well that they needed to be stronger in the Lord in order to be the people that they needed to be. I'm glad that we've heard about New Year's resolutions today. I'm glad this is a good day to think about it. I asked my wife last night, I said, you got your New Year's resolutions? Yeah, I got stuff I need to do every day. Well, we all do. But one of the things that we think about on a day like today is how can we be better children of the Lord? How can we be people who bring people closer to the Lord instead of farther from the Lord? How can we be people who are stronger ourselves in order to help someone else with our strength to get them to heaven? I was taught long ago, back in graduate school, King, I was taught that the real objective of Christianity is to get people into the Lord's kingdom and help them get all the way to heaven. That's just a very simplistic way of saying we got to do it and we got to live it. And we need to teach people how to get to heaven. And we need to help them along the way, which means we're helping ourselves toward heaven. As I said, it's been a very, very interesting 2 years for me. It's been very discouraging some days, and other days, like when I baptized Sandrine Hango, very, very encouraging. It makes me remember that the Lord is with us always, Matthew 28, and that the Lord wants us to succeed, and the Lord wants good things for us as Christians, and the Lord wants us to get to heaven at last. But brothers and sisters, we need to pray, Lord, increase our faith. We need to rely on Him more and more and less on ourselves. And I say this when I'm at the height of my powers. Yeah, I get sick once in a while. Yeah, I have to take medicine. Yeah, I have difficulties I go through. Yeah, things don't always go the way you'd like them to go. But I know better how to teach. I know better how to organize. I know better how to preach. I know better how to do the things that are necessary to do the kind of work the Lord is giving me. And I pray He will continue to give me years and years to continue this kind of a work that can help others. But Lord, I need an increase in my faith. And that only comes from You. So brothers and sisters, we need to be those who have the strongest faith possible. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, and we need to study that Word all the time. We need to read our Bibles more to increase our faith. We need to believe in a way that we practice that we actually prove our faith. And I'm not just talking about doing benevolence like James 2 talks about. I'm talking about in our decision-making and in the processes of our lives in every way that we should be people who prove our faith by our deeds. We need to be people who put away sin and do what's right and not neglect those good things that we know we need to do. One of the wonderful things that has happened to this congregation is that we have seen people die in the Lord, and their good deeds have followed them. And they're resting, and they give us hope that we'll go and see them again. What a wonderful thing it is for a congregation to have people who are faithful to the Lord to pass away. But that means it's good for all of us. Now, are we glad that Tommy Simpson's still alive? Well, most of us are. But are there any guarantees? We certainly need to remember that the Lord is looking out for us and wants us to live the right life. For brothers and sisters, we need to live it. We need to put away sin. And those of you who have not yet been baptized into Jesus Christ You need to do like Sister Sandrine. You need to put away the way you used to live. You need to make that decision. You need to say, put me in that water and help me to have my sins forgiven and start a new life. And we'll all rejoice. Brothers and sisters, my friends, all who are hearing my voice today, pray to the Lord to increase our faith. But if you need to be baptized or if you need the prayers of this congregation, now's the time. Come while we stand and while we sing.
It's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. There's danger and delay. Except for saving grace.
Taking the Lord's Supper this morning, sing all four verses of 92. When my love to Christ grows weak, when for
This is the time that has been set aside for us to partake of the Lord's Supper. We know that we're to do this, commanded to do this each and every first day of the week. We know the scripture says, for as oft as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we do show the Lord's death till he comes. We're so thankful for his obedience to the Father and his willingness to come, suffer, bleed, and die on this earth so that we might have forgiveness. This morning I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 10. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful on the first day of this new year to be able to partake and participate in the Lord's Supper. We're so thankful for the sacrifice that your Son made on Calvary. He bore the sins of this world so that we might have hope of one day having a home in heaven with you if we live in the right kind of way. Heavenly Father, at this time, we're so thankful for his body, the bread which represents his body. We pray this morning that as we're partaking of this, that we will do so in a way that will always reflect honor and glory to you and to his name. And it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. Let us again pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the blood that was shed on Calvary, for your Son's sacrifice, so that we might have that hope. Heavenly Father, we know that this time we pray that we will clear our minds of everything that is in this world and focus only on you and your Son, for we know that you are here with us at this time. In our presence. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be with us. We want to thank you for this cup, which represents that blood that was shed by your Son on the cross at Calvary. Heavenly Father, we pray that we may partake of this in a manner that will always reflect honor and glory to you and to your Son's name. And it's in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. Now let us give thanks for all the material blessings that we have in this life. We know that we are truly blessed people. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for each and every blessing that we have. We pray that we will always remember that every good and perfect gift comes from you. Heavenly Father, we know that we have many talents. We're blessed in many ways. But at this time, we pray that we will give back cheerfully, not out of necessity, that we will give back with a cheerful heart so that we may be able to do those things to support Brother Key and for other missionaries so that they are able to spread your word throughout this world. Heavenly Father, this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Again, thank you for being here with us this morning. So good to see all of you, especially those of you that are visiting. Please come back and be with us at any and every opportunity that you may have. Closing song this morning will be number 108. Really thankful to have you with us today, Brother Key. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the lesson. Our closing song, number 108, we'll sing the first verse. Would please stand.
My Savior's God, how much would you God,
Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this most beautiful day for us to enjoy an opportunity we have to be here to study lessons from thy word. And Father, we pray that you take these truths and live them out in everyday life. Father, we want to pray for all the ones that need our prayers, wherever they may be, in the blessed name. Father, we're about to separate from this place. We pray that you go with us, take care of us, give us our sins. Right.